people who I know are here are Pete Tucker, Tony Norman, Robert Mark, John, the Prophet, Jim Brown, and Benito Diaz. Is there anybody here on the call that I didn't mention?
I know Lydia said she would be here, but she may have not have seen Benito's note about reverting to the phone number for the PNB meeting.
Okay. Well, as a working group, we should probably have a chair. I think sort of de facto I'm the facilitator or the convener for this, but I think we need to begin with to elect a temporary chair for this meeting. I'm willing to do it. Is there anybody else that wants to do it?
I nominate George as pro tem.
I think by acclamation it should be George. I really do.
Okay. We can also elect the permanent chair if we wish. We would do that by email. I think probably I'm going to wait till the end of the meeting before we decide whether we want to do that or not. So I'll chair the meeting as today. Essentially, anyone who shows up is entitled to be a member and to vote. So we'll. My thought was, John, to begin with your comments. You've seen what the notes we've taken. You were there at the first sort of strategic planning meeting within the group. Is that all right with anybody? Does anybody have any objection to giving John Prophet a chance to speak to what he sees the issues are and how best we can go about actually, as he said, coming up with strategic directions to save this foundation? Any objection to that?
Hearing none.
Okay, John, you got the floor.
Well, it's what I was trying to get across is not really complicated at all. I hear the and I have my own I think really potentially very positive ideas in terms of content and programming, and Lydia's reference to the I'm drawing a total blank. Let me switch to it, because she sent a very good email that mentioned
Medicare anniversary.
The Medicare anniversary. Thanks, Bob. Medicare anniversary, and George talking about his issues also in terms of developing being a development of compelling mission-oriented content for Pacific, of being a valid strategic plan. And I agree with that totally. But the point I was trying to make is, and I'm sorry if I sound a little bit incoherent tonight, I'm extremely tired after the plane flight from New York City today. The problem, as I see it, is that we have so many things that we can and should be doing that's being stymied by the lack of resources. And I mean by lack of resources, I mean money to pay creative producers, to pay for the equipment, the studio time, et cetera, that's needed to be able to produce a quality program that would be, attractive to our five stations and our audiences. I think without fixing the money problem, all the other things probably won't get very far, which is my somewhat pessimistic take on this. And I know George feels differently, but that's okay. George and I frequently disagree.
Well, I would like to speak to that. I mean, I think, we should maybe focus more on some immediate fundraising. But for me, the question is, where are we going to find audiences? And my sense is that what we have been talking about, which is to say, to try to reach out to progressive communities who are already in action around specific issues such as single-payer health care. Actually, that was the first issue I thought of about that was something that really, really needed a national audience. The people who were trying to organize that, they needed to have a national audience, and we could have provided it.
Mm-hmm.
We can still do that. I don't know that we can do it in 15 days, probably not, but these things come up, and they keep coming up. And my sense is the young people, the progressive people, the people who are already committed to doing something about the manifold problems in this culture, in this society, and already in motion, are our natural audience. And that audience is only going to grow as the difficulties of the society grow. And so for the long run, and I see it as sort of medium term, you know, not the next month or two, but not also longer than a year. I mean, it's like if you want to develop a regular program to develop a listenership, it takes quite a while. But to put on a special event for a group that has already an audience, has a constituency and wants to reach a bigger audience, that doesn't take that long. And it's a way I would think, you know, of expanding our listenership rapidly. And by partially changing the direction of the network to emphasize those kinds of things. So that's my thought about that. Anybody want to speak to any of this?
Robert Keck.
Robert, go ahead.
And Benito.
I just want to say a couple of things.
Yeah.
First is, the problem that I see with developing this programming is that if it comes down from management, it will be rejected out of hand. And yet there's a very serious structural problem within Pacifica, at least in Houston, and that is there's no mailing list for programmers. You can't get in touch with all the programmers at once. Whereas if we adopted the Mr. Brown's plan for having a rotating national program director, and, you know, we could send directly to the programmers, is anybody interested in Medicare's 75th anniversary or single-payer health care or the environment or the topics that you mentioned? You might get individual programmers to actually respond to such a request. Physically, we just can't do it at this time. And then my other comment is Pacifica's problems cannot be fiscal problems cannot be fixed with nickel and dime solutions.
Right.
You know, people are saying we have to expand membership to solve this problem. Well, that's a good long-term goal, but short-term, it's not going to solve our problem. We've got to reach out and find some people with a lot of money who would be willing to drop it on Pacifica in tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. And there are people out there that would not break a sweat at writing a check for $100,000. But
right.
Somehow we have to get our message tone so they realize that preserving Pacifica is an important goal.
I just...
Benito, you were next.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Benito?
Well, Robert stole some of my thunder because I was just going to say that I agree with both John and George, and I don't really see a contradiction in what both of them are saying. I agree with John that these more long-term kind of ideas are good ideas, but we got to deal with the money problem. Okay, so, and Robert be just to the how to deal with the money problem. And I think we have to separate those two. We have to recognize that long term, I think George is, although George made a proposal right now, which I think is also legit, and I'm not a programmer, but I would think is feasible in terms of outreach to those groups that already have an audience. But most of our ideas are in terms of building audience, building listenership, is a thing that is going to have to take time. And we do have to recognize that's not going to solve our immediate problem. So I would say let's move in the direction of what Robert is saying in terms of dealing with the immediate situation, recognizing that the way how to solve the problem in the long term is by building these new audiences.
Well, may I interject here? I'll speak from technically where the problems arise in this entire discussion is this. Pacifica is suffering from loss of audience, first and foremost because of its exhaustion of the audience through increasing the length of time spent on the air begging for money, fundraising. It's gotten to what I would call, and it's actually called in the industry, a death spiral. When you start adding days here and there until you have so much time spent on the air asking for money, people simply tune you out. No matter if they have good, very, very good feelings for Pacifica and they really love KPFT or WBAI, they just get sick and tired of hearing, it seems like 50% of their broadcast time being devoted to fundraising. That's why I say that the structural problem of the financial situation for Pacifica is basic to any of these issues, because we can't build audiences when we're driving them away with incessant fundraising. That is an absolute bottom line problem we have. So figuring out how to make our fundraising more effective and find other sources of revenue, be it grants or what have you, I don't think we can effectively move forward with the existing fundraising situation we have. That's why I raised the issue of the financial situation as being, the first key or the first piece in the jigsaw puzzle of the strategic planning process. I don't have any magic bullets, by the way. I just, I'm doing my Jeremiah role on this, I guess.
And I agree. I agree totally.
Robert?
Yes. Robert, anybody else want to speak?
Jim.
Robert, then Jim.
Another piece of the puzzle that you might consider in terms of running audience away is I've heard some complaints lately about production value. Now, if you listen to some of these online radio shows, you see that these people are production wizards. They can put together some really slick broadcasts, and ours are still the same old, one or two people sitting in front of a microphone. Now, the show that I would tell you has great production value in Houston is Queer Voices. They work in music and multimedia and news and politics and just everything. It's just a great show from a production standpoint. But if people are just tired of our same old, some not very exciting voices talking over the microphone, we might want to think about, how can we work in some slicker production value? And I don't know the answer to that question, but it's just something you might want to put in the mix.
Jim.
Yes. It seems like we are agreeing on a lot of the problems we're having, and I think that's good. And this is just coming to mind now. When we look at these problems, I think we can attract interest and more money if we come up with some methods of actually handling these problems. Like you think back in the old days when there was a problem with the war, we jumped at people over each other, ideas about how we as communities were to deal with, to handle those, and how we were going to solve them for ourselves. The Medicare issue is a great one. A lot of seniors out there who are going to not benefit or benefit with more information to get those particulars. Long story short, these issues that we have if we can find out, do some research on how patients are actually trying to handle these issues, and get in the planning stage with them on something, some event or something that's worthwhile for us both, it might bring us more audience, might bring us more money, depends on how we plan it. But I think that might be some out of the money problems we have. I've listened to John very carefully, and I'm thinking that the more we think about solutions to our problems, the closer we get to way of solving them, I think.
Anybody else want to speak?
This is Tony.
Tony, go ahead.
One other relevant issue I was
Tony, I don't know what's happening, but it sounds like a growling in the system.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
How is that? Yes, in terms of one of the things I didn't know that
it was much better just a moment ago. I don't know what you did, but you were loud and clear just a moment ago.
Can you hear me now? How is that?
Not so good.
How is that? Can you hear me now?
You're still faint. A moment ago, you were loud and clear. Well, try it. Anyway, go ahead.
You come and go, Tony.
What about now?
That's better.
Is this better?
Don't move. That's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking that we need to deal with the issue and definition of... I'm not opposed necessarily to underwriting per se, but we need to deal with the definition and what kind of policy we as a network and as an organization can deal with in terms of what we consider acceptable underwriting and acceptable programming. I would hope that this would be the forum to discuss that in a rational way. Because we do have to be creative in this day and age and still hold to our principles about community radio and what we stand for. And I don't think that those two are opposed to each other. We just have to be conscious of what exactly it is we're doing, even though I know some stations are doing it and some of it is working, I guess, reasonably well. But I think that's something that we at least should be part of this type of discussion.
I agree with you, Tony. Anybody else want to speak? Well, let me say a few things, which is that, John, you're just coming back from BAI, which I gather is actually fundraising 50% of the time or something like that.
It's extensive. I mean, 50% is a slight exaggeration, but it's approaching, it's approaching on most of the Pacifica stations about 3 months out of the year, and that's too much.
I think that's a response to a broader problem for radio in general, which I'm sure you're aware of, is that listenership is falling off.
Correct.
Everywhere.
Belabor the point, and I'm not belaboring the point about the affiliate underwriting proposal, but yes, all throughout community and public radio, audiences are diminishing, and it's a real problem in terms of raising the money to make the productions the stations want to do possible. So the hybrid model that goes to a much, to my way, a deleterious extreme that NPR has developed over the past several decades, it augments the individual pledges, the fundraising, with corporate and business underwriting. So, the two working together aggregates enough money to finance a fairly robust and creative content provider in national public radio. I don't advocate that specific model for Pacifica at all, but it's a reality that Yeah, as George says, the audiences are tapering off. The fractionization of audiences for radio, along with podcasts and online streaming and program time shifting, all of the stuff that sort of chops the audiences up into smaller and smaller packets, that's happening throughout the industry. It's the strategic idea is to figure out, you know, what mix, what approaches to fundraising and what mixes of funding can adequately, you know, support the mission of the organization. I mean, that's the debate that should go on, I think.
I think I want to speak to that too. There's a piece in the underwriting proposal that speaks to developing contacts with groups that we'd like to work with.
Yeah.
Developing working relationships with. We provide something for them. So it seems to me the key about underwriting is not whether we should do it or not, but how do we select the people that we want to work with? How do we select who gets to do the underwriting on the air? How do we
there are two things that we need to always keep separate. We're not talking about under any feasible scenario that I can imagine doing underwriting on Pacifica stations. We're talking about that which is happening already and will continue to happen regardless of what Pacifica says or does on stations that are affiliated to the Pacifica network, who take some Pacifica programming. They're into underwriting, and because for them it's a matter of life or death or survival. So what we say or do matters not one whit to them. What the proposal tries to do is to enable Pacifica, as being an agent for these affiliate stations, that you know, basically have a very positive view of Pacifica, but being a clearinghouse, so that the stations that in the affiliate group who want to run underwriting can do so and develop a revenue stream from their underwriting to that affiliate station, but then they pay a service fee, as they're doing already, to Pacifica. I mean, the affiliate groups have an affiliation fee already, and that affiliation fee would go up with some of the service fee from whatever underwriting the program generates. But all we're doing is getting some of the revenue stream as a service fee back to the Pacifica Foundation. We're not running the damned underwriting. And people who at our PNB board meeting who were talking about, you know, how disgraceful it is to talk about this and so forth is total nonsense, because it's not Pacifica. You know, unless you say that the name of Pacifica can't be associated, but it already is, folks. The affiliate stations that are called themselves Pacifica affiliates are doing underwriting now. They're going to be doing more in the future. So that particular horse has left the barn. The Pacifica name is already associated in many markets with the affiliate stations doing underwriting. So, you know.
Let me just take a moment to see who joined
sure.
the call.
No,
this
is Pete returning, and I also want to have something to say.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the stack. And
Adriana?
Who else? Adriana, good, welcome. Anybody else join the call? No. Okay. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I'm just a little unclear what the purpose of tonight's call is. If it's general strategic thinking for the network, then I'm very eager to hear people's ideas. If we're going to be rehashing the affiliates program, which I had concerns about, and now I have more concerns about, having looked into it a bit more, then that's on the whole different thing. But I think what Tony was asking is, as part of our strategic planning, generally what is our position defining underwriting, irrespective of this whole proposal and irrespective of the affiliates for Pacifica? Part of our strategic thinking needs to be defining underwriting. That's one part. And what are the other major things strategically that we need to do? But as far as rehashing some of these arguments, I'm not open that I'm particularly useful or particularly in line with the strategic thinking for where we're going as Pacifica. Thanks.
Well, let me say again, it seems to me the strategic question is, where are we going to find an audience? And what what I was suggesting was we look for the audience in places where people are already emotional around progressive issues, and we be of service to them. And the way I see the affiliates' request to Pacifica fitting into that and using underwriting is underwriting is a vehicle for us being of service to these organizations and making connections with them, which can be expanded in other ways. The concern, it seems to me, with underwriting is, again, who gets to choose who's doing the underwriting? It's at least for me that seems to be the concern. Maybe it's not for others, but so my question for John is, and it's specific to the proposal was there. It sounded as though you were saying that Pacifica had no choice about who was going to be allowed to be doing this sort of who we're going to broker with to do the national underwriting.
Well, there's two different things.
Is that correct?
The stations are doing, the affiliate stations are doing this already. They will continue to do it, and as a matter of survival, regardless of what Pacifica decides. It seems to be missed by everyone, you know, that we have influence over what the affiliates do. We do not. We do not, unless we simply say, and we could. I mean, the board, PNB could vote to say, if you're an affiliate station of Pacifica Network, you may not do underwriting, and we would lose all of our affiliates. Plain and simple. I guarantee that would happen. So, you know, take the business about, you know, we're going to tell the affiliate stations what they can or cannot do off the table. We can make recommendations, and I think having a mission-driven philosophy of what constitutes ethical or underwriting that would be congruent with the message of Pacifica, I think that makes sense, but it's not a it's ambiguous enough and open to interpretation that to have a hard and fast rule is not going to work. But it's flashpoint. I've learned this from talking with people. You say the word underwriting, and people immediately fly off on a tangent and lose focus on the issue. We have 200 plus radio stations that call themselves affiliates of Pacifica. And virtually all of them, I can get you a precise figure, are doing corporate and business underwriting now. And they're not going to stop. But they'll find somebody else, like the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, to work with them as a coordinating clearinghouse for making the project work across many stations in the affiliate group. You know, we do it or somebody else does it. You know, it's as simple as that. Except that we can't change that reality.
John, I didn't quite get the answer to the question.
And
I hadn't heard you before, but you're on right after Robert. John, I didn't quite hear the answer to the question. Of course, they can do whatever they want, and they can, you know, they can have underwriting by Lockheed Martin or some other such organization. But what would we be involved in? My understanding was this was a program of basically bundling the opportunity to do underwriting for many of these stations, with Pacifica basically being the bundler. And my question is, are we also the doorkeeper? Do we also decide who it is we're willing to allow to participate in this, or is that horse already gone out the door? And we don't really have any say about that.
I think we do have a say, George. It's a matter open for negotiation, as part of the of advancing a plan that has the support of the Pacifica board. But that doesn't exist. But you know, going forward, the idea of having a strong vision as to what Pacifica means, being first and foremost there in the affiliate's office, yes, I think that it would be perfectly appropriate for as a clearinghouse to say this is appropriate, this is inappropriate. But the point I'm trying to make is this: individual stations, I think that there's probably no community affiliate station would take underwriting from Lockheed Martin or any of the obvious offenders of the environment, et cetera. That's already in the community radio. They don't do that kind of stuff, but you know, open to other nonprofits in particular. That's a treasure trove of financing for they're called paid PSA announcements, paid underwriting from other nonprofit organizations like symphonies, operas, ballet companies, literary societies, et cetera. There's a lot of money there. So an affiliate station, the way the system is intended is this. The Pacifica affiliate office does not plan to be and would not be in the business of soliciting underwriting on behalf of the stations. What they do is when individual stations in the affiliate group are approached by an underwriter who wants to do underwriting on that station, we would be able to get the name of that organization, for-profit or not-for-profit, and then be able to publicize that name to the rest of the affiliate group. Company A comes to a station in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and says, I'd like to underwrite on your station. Immediately, Company A, via email, is noticed to all of the other affiliate groups saying, would anyone else like to participate in this type of a group announcement for this organization? And if 10, 15, 20 stations show interest and the potential underwriter says, I like the idea of reaching 20 to 30 different markets, then you have what is called a group buy, and you move forward with the entire project at that point. That's the way the mechanism would work. I've never thought, nor does Ursula, that the affiliate office should be in the business of going out and soliciting commercial underwriting. That's not the point of what they do. It truly is a clearinghouse, and I think the clearinghouse has the can very easily have the job of the gatekeeper too. Say to a station that we don't think it's appropriate for the entire group, and then that affiliate station would do it by itself, which they have the right to do, but we would not be promulgating it throughout the rest of the affiliate group. Does that answer the question?
Okay, it does. Robert, and then Adriana, and then Tony.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that the one thing John was mentioning about the affiliates programs is that the one thing the affiliates get from us for affiliate fees is Democracy Now! But we're not the only place they can get that. We're not even the only place they can get that for what we charge. And if, say, the National Association for Community Broadcasting or whatever it is puts together this package for them, they could also put together a package for Democracy Now! To come over their feed rather than our feed. And then the affiliates wouldn't need us at all. So it's not only about increasing revenue. We run the risk of losing at the present affiliate's income we already have because we're not giving them anything that makes us worth the money.
Adriana.
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't understand because we are again discussing the pros and cons of the underwriting. When we are, like always, discussing things halfway, we are saying, and you, John, just said a few minutes ago, this is nothing that we are doing for the Pacifica station. Well, you, me, and everybody in this call agrees.
Well, actually, I didn't say that, Adriana. I didn't say that.
Wait.
We weren't talking about running the underwriting messages.
I know. We are talking about underwriting for the station. We said the underwriting program is talking about the affiliates, not the KPFT the Pacifica station, right?
Right.
We are talking about the affiliates, okay?
Yes.
But all of us know that some stations have already underwriting. Even when we are saying that we don't, we do.
Are you talking about the Pacifica stations?
Exactly.
Specifically
about
John,
let Adriana
finish. John, let Adriana finish.
Sure.
Go ahead, Adriana.
We know that for sure. We have, and like I said, it's not clear. It's more than that. That was being said in November 2013 in the in-person meeting in Houston. That was being said at an open session.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And was accepted like that. Nobody, and we, but we keep saying, oh no. No, the fire station, no, the Pacific station.
Right.
Why are we doing this? I mean, what I don't understand is how can we say it this way? Oh no, we are not talking about the Pacific station. We are talking only about the affidavit. No, it's not true. We have the same problem on Pacifica. How can we stop when we are even the broker, like you said? But we will be the broker, allowing the affiliate, you know, to do that. Like you say, they can leave. They don't need us. They don't need us, our permission. But with that brokerage attitude, if you want, what we are saying is not only the stations, the Pacific stations are doing it, obviously we are condoning that because we are the brokerage in the affiliate program. And we know that it's happening in our fire stations, and we don't do anything, and we lie openly to everybody saying that we are not accepting underwriting. And this is a discussion that we need to have on the national level.
I agree.
To have with our listeners. Well, but you agree, but I don't know what are you doing to stop what is happening that shouldn't.
Nothing, because Adriana, the PNB has not, PNB is my boss, and the PNB has said nothing about KPFT running underwriting. You know, the day they do, I'll do something about it. But you know, I do my best not to interfere with what local
stations do. I'm sorry, John. But my question is, you were in KPFT. You don't know that is happening?
Of course I know. Please, I'm not an idiot, Adriana. Yes, I know. The official position, be it written or informally expressed throughout the board and the national office, is that the Pacifica Network does not accept corporate underwriting. I mean, that's what, when I first came into the business, that's what I was told. And then I found that in the reality, as you point out, there are some stations who are doing some underwriting.
Sure.
So, you know, what am I supposed to do about that? I mean, it's unclear, because if the board has a wink and nod about it, I don't feel it's my job to jump in and, quite frankly, affect the financial situation at a member station. There are two stations in Pacifica who currently are head above water and continuing to pay their central services fees to the national office, so we can pay health care and stuff like that. That's KPFT and KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for me to mess around with call it what you want to, an informal or under the table thing that KPFT is doing, it would be unconscionable, because we would end up basically hurting the financial situation there, which would hurt Pacifica. So, absent direction from the PNB, I don't think I really think it would be inadvisable for me to do anything.
Okay.
Okay. It means in order for you to ask, you need us, the PNB, make a resolution about that, or telling you that something needs to be done, because this, like you say, is in that under the table. It's not any recorded or anything. It's not anybody knowing who is accepting or not. If it's ethical or unethical underwriting, we don't know even how much money is involved, but we think that it's acceptable. I mean,
can we move on? It's clear. It's clear that John agreed to what you just said, which is that he needs some instruction for the PNB to act upon that. Tony.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Good.
It's good right now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to have we may not be able to do it tonight, is that the PNB need to have a broader discussion on the concept of underwriting. It's the reason I brought the subject up. I didn't necessarily want to talk about the affiliates program. I think that's a whole separate debate with different points and a whole other different discussion. But I'm simply saying, if not tonight, We need to have a strategic, organized discussion, and the national boards need to be straightforward about this. Either we're going to do underwriting or we're not going to do underwriting. And if we choose to do underwriting, one, the board needs to define what it means by that. Two, what type of companies it's going to, what type of underwriting it's going to do. And three, who's going to make that selection? All I'm simply saying is maybe not tonight, but there should be recommendations that the board deal with this straightforward. The whole concept from a broader perspective of underwriting. Because I don't think it's fair for our listeners and our constituents that we deal with it in a case-by-case, under the table, some do this, some. We need to have some policy direction or issue policy direction on where we stand as a board on underwriting. And once we establish that, we can deal with the other issues related to that, how we deal with the affiliates program, this, that, and the other. But I didn't really want to go into details of debating the specifics of the affiliates program. I think that's a whole other discussion to talk about.
I didn't bring it up, so.
But I'm just saying in the future, I just hope that we have an open, straightforward discussion on underwriting, and Pacifica as a board can define what it means by underwriting, conscious underwriting, or if it chooses to go in that direction.
Right, exactly.
That's my
Tony, I want to suggest put a quasi-committee of the whole for an hour and a half on the agenda. I think that's the vehicle for doing it. It's much better, it seems to me, to do those kind of discussions in a context where you don't have a specific thing in front of you, such as the affiliates program, for instance, and we get a chance to sort of explore the issues before we have to actually make a decision on it. That'd be my suggestion, anyway. I want to get us back to return to something Pete said, which is I would like this to be a discussion about strategic vision and strategic plans. I don't think this has been a digression, actually. I think the question of underwriting and the specific project that the affiliates said, and indeed the relationship of the affiliates to the network, I see them as very, very useful and very important in terms of reaching a lot of people. So there's that. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that it seems to me if we had and were public about having the kind of strategic vision for developing special events national programming, the various other aspects that we talked about, but specifically that we're gonna be reaching out to progressive groups already in motion, already working on key issues in the society. And we're going to be of use to them by providing them with a platform where they can be heard and where new audiences for them can be heard. And in the process, we both complete our mission, we serve our mission, and we serve them, and we develop new audiences. It seems to me that if we were saying that, if we were saying we're doing something different, we're really reaching out, we're broadening our business model, taking on a whole new challenge, it seems to me we might attract big donors specifically on that basis, who see the importance of doing that at this time particularly. It might be a way, actually, of answering the first question that John brought up, which was, were we going to raise some immediate money? Okay.
Actually, I was talking about long-term, not immediate. strategically.
Okay. Well, this is sort of intermediate. I mean, I don't know where we can do anything in 15 days with the Medicare issue. Probably we haven't got the infrastructure in place to do it, would be my guess. I also want to say something else about what Robert Mark said about lack of infrastructure. There is no mailing list at KPFT even. I can't communicate with the other producers. I'm not sure why that is, whether that's policy or it just hasn't happened. But we do need something like that. We do need a way for the producers in this network to communicate so that, for
Absolutely.
Instance, if something like this came up and we had, say, another month to do it, we could put a message out. Who would like to be part of a national programming around Medicare and healthcare for all and Medicare for all and so on, and see who's out there who could and would want to do it. And we don't have that inability to do that. That seems to me to be something which is not hard to make happen. And John, it seems to me you could make it happen by asking people to do it.
Well, may I speak to that?
Sure.
I've been doing some of this a little bit, sort of just informal conversations with program directors, some GMs, and some individual producers. Had this excellent chance at WBAI. Sat down with a nice 15 or so group over beer and wine, and just really had a heart-to-heart talk about this. Then this comes into this whole strategic question, George. There is and I think you'll agree with this, there is a serious morale problem. The constant problems with, meeting fundraising, failing to meet fundraising goals, budget problems, people being laid off. I mean, I was shocked when I didn't realize, way before my time, but how much talent, really well-known Pacifica talent that WBAI has lost over the years, either through cuts or people just getting tired of hassling with it and leaving. But I think that's not a rare feeling among the producers, the creative people on our staffs. Unappreciated, sometimes caught up in things that they don't understand, and they want to do a good program, but there's an emotional and kind of a morale miasma floating over so many folks that it impedes their work. So I want to do the best things possible to try to convince people that they have support from the national office, they have support from the board, and they have good ideas and things that make their job, even if there's no more money at this point, at least they feel like they're being supported, and that they don't right now. That's a generalization, but I think there's some truth in it.
Anybody else want to speak?
Hey, Robert.
And Benito.
And then Benito.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay. The only thing I want to say to the, John underbarred the word strategic. The only thing I want to say is there's no point in planning a long game if you're going to fail in the short game. And I still recommend now what I've been recommending for almost 6 years, which is that we need to start a one-on-one solicitation of big donors immediately. I don't care whether they're given for a transmitter fund, whether they're given for just general underwriting of the stations. I don't care what it is, but somebody needs to be reaching out to someone that can write a big check, and they need to be doing it before the end of the fiscal year. And it has to be, I think that, frankly, it would be impressive if the executive director of Pacifica made a personal call to a potential donor here in Houston or anywhere else, although he may be known here in Houston. But also, we need to get the general managers on board with this. They got to stop focusing on being on the radio and start focusing on raising significant cash.
As does the
board. And as nice as our fundraisers are, they're not enough to get us out of the hole we're in.
Yes, the ED should be doing this, and in fact, just a few weeks ago, I did exactly that with Leslie Radford at KPFK. She and I got on a conference call with a potential major donor who probably is going to write a check in five figures for K, and it was a very rewarding experience to work together with her to cultivate the person. Robert, you're absolutely correct. I need to be doing that, but I hasten to say that's one of the main jobs of any nonprofit board also. The Pacifica National Board and the LSB should be facilitating meetings with people to raise money. you know, introducing, I mean, they're in Houston, people from the LSB taking Dwayne Bradley to meet with some of their friends who might have the capacity to write a check. It's door opening. It's making introductions. You know, when I don't know somebody in L.A. or Berkeley, I rely on somebody who is really well known on the you know, to the public from KPFA or KPFK to introduce me and say, hey, this is our new executive director, and he'd like to find out what you think about Pacifica, maybe how you might help Pacifica. You know, people really, really react positively to that. They know you're not there just with your hand out and nothing to offer for it. You're giving them a chance to express an opinion, become involved, and, you know, actually feel like they, by God, they're going to make a difference for their beloved Pacifica. That's really major.
Benito.
Okay, well, I agree with... First of all, let me say I agree with what both Robert and John just said. But I also agree with what Pete and Tony said earlier. You know, if this work group is to deal with strategic planning, then I think it's only appropriate that fundraising is an integral part of that strategic planning.
Yep.
And so therefore that means finding alternative sources of income, and we don't, you know, we have meeting after meeting, we go over the blues about the fund drives. So I think it's appropriate for this group to develop a policy, like Tony said, about what do we mean. Now, I don't know that I want to call it underwriting. I don't know what it should be called. You know, the PMB Programming Committee is starting to deal with that concept and hopefully come up with something. But whether they do or not, I think this work group should also be working on something, and at some point the two groups can come together. Yeah, just like George mentioned about how if we outreach to groups that have their own audiences, have their own membership, and can mobilize that membership to come to an action, they can also mobilize them to come up with some money too, pay their membership, whatever, to Pacifica, whatever. And the same thing can be said, like John said, about cultural groups such as symphonies, et cetera. And we had a discussion here at PFW recently at the LSB Programming Committee meeting about things that management is doing over there with regard to music groups and clubs and things of that nature. I think it's only appropriate that if we already have relationships with particular organizations, let's say, be they for-profit or non-profit, and we are publicizing their events anyway, then we might as well get something for it and make it a two-way relationship. Right now it's only a one-way relationship, and we're not getting anything. So I think all those things are appropriate, and I would like us to continue along that line. I'm not so sure that I agree with George, your idea of making this discussion about a underwriting policy that Tony suggested. You suggested we do that as a committee of the whole. And I think, although maybe generally I would agree, but because of the reaction that we got with regard to this you know, strategic planning group in general, it may be that it might be better to start out with coming up with something within this group. And again, that we can present at the same time to the programming committee and then go to a committee of the whole, whatever. That's it.
Anybody else like to speak?
Yeah, this is Jim.
Jim, good.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with all that we're talking about tonight. It's very, very impressive. And I kind of feel as though that my first statement wasn't heard when I talked about looking at solutions to what we're proposing to do, a solution to the problems we have. And they're beginning to come out now. Some of the things that we had talked about at PFW was to look at the relationships the station already has and actually make different arrangements with these relationships, in these relationships, in terms of having the people they need services. For instance, if they need a PSA done, why not pay PFW to do the PSA? That's not a lot of money, I know. But those are relationships we can start to develop with organizations around our stations. There are certain things that we could do at the station that has nothing to do with what goes on the air, but something, some kind of relationship that we can build with the organizations that will help them do what they do. And that would automatically, in my opinion, bring in a lot more interest into the station, and eventually it would result into some streams of revenue coming to the station still from a nonprofit source.
I want to second what Jim said, that there are groups of people, organizations, who we have relationships with at the local level, who, as Benito said, they're already using us, and we're useful to them, and that's, we intend to be. That's good. That's part of our mission to do that. Who we could explore further, and it seems to me, it is getting the general managers out doing this that is necessary in order to make it happen. About a two-way financial relationship, you know, maybe it was Jim suggested that, you know, yeah, we'd be glad to make a PSA, but how about if you do some regular contributions to us? So when we do your PSAs, you know, you're supporting us in being able to stay here to be able to do this for you. And it seems to me, I'm suggesting basically the same thing on the national level. And I don't know exactly what the resistance is to it, because that's one thing I haven't read the emails that John Prophet said were critical. But I would like to hear from you all what you think about it. I set it out as a framework. It seemed to me a sort of distillation of where the conversation had come up until this point. And I would like to hear from you all about, should we go forward with something like that? Are there pieces in it that need to be changed? What alternative strategic visions are there? What's the alternative to that suggestion I made for a framework?
Robert,
that's what I'd like to hear. Yeah, Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I wrote a grant application to the Harris County Houston United Way that was dealing with exactly that subject. And it involved putting together some kind of multimedia presentation to explain what KPFT was and how we got here, and then sending out an invitation to as many organizations as we could, asking them to send a representative to a meeting to learn about what community radio can do for your organization, not what you can do for us, but we can do for you within the framework of our PSAs and programming and all that. And then the idea was to get these contacts and then ask the people that are there now, would you invite us to give this presentation to your staff? And then we would start a roadshow taking this thing on the road and educating the people in the organization about KPFT, and then turning that into the PSAs and the community conversations and all that stuff. And maybe ultimately, if they wanted to sign up, maybe there were four or five different environmental conservation organizations, and one would take a week a month and promote themselves on our airwaves. And I think that when you go with the presentation, what can we do for you, if you come through and keep that promise, I think you won't have any problem getting them to understand, it's time for you to give back. And I'll give you the example is Children at Risk. The executive director of Children at Risk, when we're in Fund Drive, always make sure that show meets its goal by writing a personal check, because he appreciates the fact that they have a show once a week talking about children's issues.
Yep.
And so if you get that grant, which I can't because of the hard drive that crashed, but if you get that grant from Robin or Dwayne, and you look at how I laid it out, I think you'll see a roadmap there that could work either at the local or national level.
Anybody else want to speak?
Oh, I should add to that, George.
Yeah.
They did fund us to the point of paying for the mailings, but they didn't fund us to the point of having someone paid to create the multimedia. So that's where it died.
Got it. So a concrete proposal for reaching out to other groups and how you might do it. Anybody else want to speak to the issues that are being raised here?
Tony, just one brief comment.
Tony, go ahead.
About some of the points that Jim and Benito raised that I think is very important in regards to what we're doing on a local level and nonprofits and small profits that we're working with already and the things that they're doing. They're already helping us and they're already donating to the space. For instance, we have certain organizations that have helped us out with our retreat. When we did a retreat, when I was chair of the local station board, a couple of local businesses, they donated all of the food and they donated all of the lunch and that sort of thing and the facilities and all of that and helped us with that kind of thing. So that, to me, that's the type of thing that I'm talking about. That, and most of those businesses are already really socially conscious, doing socially conscious things. There's one local business person who runs a chain of restaurant stores who's been very active in supporting WPSF and has a lot of socially conscious activity. He sponsors lectures with Amy Goodman and all that sort of thing. And he's been very supportive of the station in terms of donations and fundraising. So that's a classic example where you have a socially conscious, really small for-profit business that are really doing things for the station. And I think that sort of thing, to me, that's how I envision if there is a concept of underwriting something similar to that. These businesses are already committed to our mission. They're already working with us on our mission. So I just want to highlight that's where my mind is thinking when I'm thinking in terms of corporate donorships and underwriting, that type of thing. Nothing large, nothing Fortune 500, but businesses that have already proven they're about the social cause and what Pacifica stands for and what the local station stands for. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak?